Do you wish it was easier managing your company's finances? Why is filing accounts so painful? Well, that's the reason we've partnered with Intuit QuickBooks, who make it really easy for founders and their companies to stay on top of their finances. And that goes for sole traders too. QuickBooks can save up to 7 hours a week on your finance admin. 7 hours! They do a bunch of things to help, whatever stage of your business, from centralizing all your docs for your self-assessment to making it easy to do payroll for your staff, from invoicing to effective time tracking. QuickBooks is a one-stop shop that gives you the tools you need to take care of your business, but they also provide an end-to-end view of your company's financials, which means you can make better business decisions. It's simple to use. You can get started in just 15 minutes. So, if you want to take control of your finances, then head to quickbooks.co.uk/secret leaders. That's quickbooks.co.uk/secret leaders. There's a link in the show notes.
I woke up one day with 500,000 euros in personal debt, left by everyone, lost everything that I worked for, but also a lot of my personality, because I was like the brand.
That's Conrad Bergstrom, talking about when his distribution business, Megascene Agency, failed. He had to declare bankruptcy and ended up living out of his car for a while. But he got himself through it and went on to found Zound, one of Sweden's fastest growing companies of all time, and then Xshore, which has been called the Tesla of electric boats. How did he manage to pick himself up? From Secret Leaders, I'm Dan Murray-Serta, and this is our bite-sized series dedicated to failure. We're doing this because we learn a lot more from failure than success, but we hardly ever hear about it. We are changing that, with the help of entrepreneurs like Conrad sharing their worst moments. Conrad set up his business for board sport brands and apparel in the late 90s. They had the rights to distribute brands like Quicksilver and Burton in Sweden, and then sold those products to retailers as well as in their own shops. The company grew quickly and made a name for themselves, organizing events such as the world's largest indoor snowboarding competition and the first European edition of the World Cup in wakeboarding.
We had really good products. We were super good at promotion and building demand. So, you know, in general terms, the business was booming. I remember that each year they did this analyze of the different sports brands, and we actually got voted 2 years in a row that we had more demanded product than Nike and Adidas, you know, the really big brands out there. So, you know, a lot of things we were doing correct.
On the outside, things looked good, but the business wasn't sustainable.
Our challenge that we had is that we were growing too quick with too low margins. If you grow with like triple digits and each time you need like 40 to 50% of that in check credit in order to release the goods, you know, Sweden was too small. It's actually a very big country, but it's quite a distance. So there is a lot of small towns that don't have big buying power. And it was very expensive to travel around and also to shipping costs. So our margins compared to being in Germany or somewhere where you have a lot more of density of customers were an issue. We also had cash flow issues because we were working with the big sport giants and they demanded like 90 days of credit. And then from our suppliers, a lot of them we needed to pay up front and then ship it. So we had at least 60, sometimes up to 120 days before we were going to get paid, and that needed to be financed. So the faster we were growing, actually the bigger the problem, because each year we were growing with double digits and had to go to the bank and ask for more money. And one day they said like, I'm sorry, you know, this is too big risk for us, so we ain't going to lend you more money.
With cash flow and financing issues, Conrad was left facing a difficult decision.
I got to a point with that I could probably have sold the financial issue, but I would have lost the whole company. And then I thought that I might as well go bankrupt because I can't I can't live with these terms that they are offering me. And in this, the company, I always been good at creating brands that people start to love. And when people love, it's not only business. Today, I work with passion, but I don't love my company. You can buy my company tomorrow to the right price. Before, I would never have sold it. So I was, in one way, from a business side, mentally weak in that I was so connected with the brand. And it's something that I changed with Sound, but also with Xshore. Today, I'm more building foundations that could be run by other people, and maybe they are better run by other people than myself.
His perspective has evolved, but back then Conrad couldn't sell his company, and that meant bankruptcy.
To be honest, I didn't understand what kind of shit I was in, because I signed a lot of papers, and this was also due to me not being on top of my business in one way. When you're going bankrupt, you are getting into a big shame as well. You failed, right? And on top of that, a lot of work are starting. You need to go and see the contractor, so to say, that is taking care of this. And you need to sort out, and it's a lot of questions. It's a big job. And especially if you're maybe quite depressed due to your failure, because it's not a fun job, you know, going there with your tail in the, it's not the meeting that you're longing for. I remember one thing that was like, you know, when you just wake up and you have no downhill, it's just getting steeper and steeper up. The more you walk, like, I'm going to pass it. And it's just getting steeper and steeper. And that was the feeling. And I remember my one day, I was just trying to find solutions, and I was just working and in all these meetings. That just a small thing, like my daughter fell and hit her head, and my grandma got taken to hospital. And I'm like, God, I'm here. Just come and take me. What the fuck do you want from me as a person? I can't do much more. I'm really trying here. And then things still went shit, you know. Sometimes it is like that. You're done.
It took Conrad 4 years to get back on track. And in that time, things got so bad, he ended up living out of his car.
Those 4 years were super tough. They say that Sweden has like a security system that if you fail, I didn't see that, but I had my dog. So it was also good in one way, because I could clear my head, and I could also really question myself or what I had and what I did right, and I could also question, like, you know, Conrad, this is fucked up, this needs to be changed, you know, you can't think this way, or you can't do that, you need to be much tougher as a businessman in that, and you cannot always maybe have, in my case, I had a lot of feelings that I was prioritizing everybody except myself. And I had a knowledge that no one could take from me. And that is what saved me. That, you know, it's quite funny that the more businesses I do, the more luck I have. It's just because I've been through a lot of shit. You know, because running a company is basically, you know, the value of your success is how you keep dealing with challenges and problems. That every day I wake up and I deal with shit. That is my job. And it's how good I deal with them. That is what the results is going to be of that day.
So what went wrong? What does Conrad think he needed to make the business work?
It's easy. Experience. We were at that time, I wasn't enough businessman. I'm born with a positivity and thought that things were going to go good instead of actually, going to my brands that I represented and really prove them that, Sweden is a different market. We need better margins in order to survive. And that was, I'm not sure that I had the knowledge. I had to get a job after that. And in that job, I actually got out from being a local in Sweden and working globally in, all over the world. And I could learn how to structure brands still through marketing and creating demand. But I calculated how I could grow in eternity without needing money from the bank. I took away some other potential risks, like we were selling a lot of clothing, and with that, you have different sizes, different models, and it's really hard to have a bottom line 10% plus, because it's always like 20 pink left in small, and that is a very small percentage that want pink t-shirts in small. So the second thing was to make a product that was one size fits all, so we could always sell everything. Getting into it was not my second business, but it was the first one that was very successful, Sound Industries. We are Sweden's quickest growing company in history with profitability. This super gazelle, and when you grow over years, 3 years. So we with all the planning and all the learnings from my failure, I was able to do the most successful company in Sweden. The world is changing so quick, so you can't, it's hard to learn it from a school book. And each business is different, and you need to make mistakes. It's more about how quick can you solve it.
Conrad Bergstrom on the surprising value of failure, what this series is all about. If you want to share the lessons you learned from your own failure story, we want to hear from you. Email us on hello@secretleaders.com with a few bullets explaining what happened. I've been your host, Dan Murray-Serta, and this is our bite-sized series exploring failure, setbacks, and how they impact success. See you next time.